All right, welcome to the End Time Shofar channel. Today we'll be doing a teaching. Primarily our teaching will be called The Last Days, Occult Revival, Astrology, a Biblical Worldview on the Occult and Astrology. So let's go ahead and open up with our opening scripture, which we're going to look at, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, which says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." So basically, the Holy Spirit is expressing through the prophet Jeremiah, he's telling the children of Israel, or the children of Judah during that time, the Jews during that time, to not to learn the ways of the heathen and not to be dismayed by the signs that the heathen actually follow and not follow the principles of the heathen. We definitely are living in the very last minutes of the last days. We're living in a current society that's definitely on a spiritual decline. We're living in a postmodern Christian age where America is turning more and more every single day into a neo-pagan society. Even just recently, within this past week, McDonald's made the news in regards to giving out, I guess, in some of their meals, a special promotion of promoting a special meal package along with tarot cards. So we definitely see a change that is taking place in society. Also, too, just recently released the Marvel movie, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse Madness, or whatever you want to call it, which the movie is heavily endowed. Even this is secular people reporting it's also too heavily endowed with magic, witchcraft, demons, other things and all. But again, we're definitely living in the signs of the times that Jesus talked about, and even what the book of Revelation is expressing what will occur during the Great Tribulation, and people are being prepped for it. So we are definitely living in a age of apostasy. We see this decline in the church here in America, the decline in numbers, the actual decline in solid biblical doctrine, where people are starting, if they are staying within the church, they're only Christian by name, they're starting to gravitate to New Age practices, New Age teachings, and Christianizing it and making it seem it is a Christian thing to do. This Christian version of a Ouija board, which is an angel board, it's the same difference, but you're speaking to angels. The same practice, it's just being repackaged to be in something else. You have people that are gravitating to other occult practices like yoga, and we're talking about astrology, and they try to Christianize it. And you have Christians who follow the zodiac and follow their horoscope, their daily horoscope, and some other things and all. But a lot of things are taking place within the scriptures and what we're seeing. Being a confirmation of the word that was written for us and written from God's holy apostles and his prophets. The apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "The Spirit expressly or explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You may ask, what is astrology, which we're going to dive into? Astrology is a type of divination that involves the forecasting of earthly and human events through the observation and interpretation of the fixed stars, the sun, the moon, and the planets. The devotees believe that understanding of the influence of the planets and the stars on the earthly affairs allows them to both predict and affect destinies of individuals, groups, and nations. In this lesson, we are going to look at that. We're going to look at how people just may think like, oh, okay, it's just daily horoscope and some news publication or something that you're looking back of, or you go online, but it's much more deeper than that. This has spiritual aspects, folks. It has people that are within the business world utilize astrology. People that are in government try to utilize astrology in the past, which we are going to go ahead and examine. Let's go to a couple of scriptures. I'm going to go to first Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. It says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. So this is how we live in a generation where people think they're pure in their own eyes. However, they have not been washed from their filthiness. We live in an age where personifies Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where people call evil good and good evil, and they call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. So it's almost a neo-Gnostic type of belief system that people have that invert certain things and turn things upside down. Titus chapter 1 verse 6 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. Here's the scripture that really hits home, which we see a lot of millennials in this younger generation have, are starting to depart from the faith and depart from having a Christian foundation or a Christian worldview and gravitating to other types of false religions and the New Age and the occult. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 states, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals or Baals, and they forsook the land or forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers. So this is Judges expressing, soon as Joshua and that generation, Joshua was the leader, and the people underneath Joshua, a little bit younger than Joshua, begin to die off. Soon after that, it arose a generation that did not know God, that it continued to walk in the faith. They did not continue to walk in the laws of Moses, the Torah. They began to worship the gods of the Canaanites within the land. They began to worship these strange foreign idol gods and departed from the faith. Therefore, they began to take on a lot of their pagan occult practices within the nation because they departed from following God's word. So here we see, this is from Pew Research Center, which we see the chart, 6 in 10 Christians and nuns hold at least one New Age belief. So despite people being called a Christian, we see 6 in 10 at least hold one New Age belief. Some of the beliefs that they hold, the belief in psychics, they believe in spiritual energies located in the physical things. They believe in reincarnation, and they believe in astrology. So it's starting to become more prevalent, people believing these New Age practices, which we know there's Solomon, King Solomon wrote this, there's nothing new under the sun. All this is just repackaged occult practices that are taking place just under the guise of New Age, or if you want to say spirituality or New Thought, or all these different phrases and all these different words. It leads back to the source that goes all the way back to Mystery Babylon, with Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, which we see the culmination of that system being judged and destroyed in the book of Revelation. Here we see that women are more likely than men to affirm New Age beliefs. So it gives you the chart, gives you the breakdown of women are more likely to believe in these New Age practices. And we see the breakdown of how people believe in astrology, which is taking place and becoming more prevalent among the younger generation. I believe Gen X and millennials are gravitating to this. So here we're starting to see the shift between millennials and Gen X's repositioning their spiritual beliefs versus baby boomers and builders. Those spiritual transitions represent the continuation of dramatic changes introduced by Gen X. Prior to the arrival of millennials, George Barna, the veteran sociologist who has been studying national religious patterns for more than four decades, pointed out that the reshaping of America's religious landscape began nearly 60 years ago. So I'm going to pause right there, because we see in the 1960s, they call it the counter cultural revolution, which is more or less a counter spiritual revolution that took place. It's well documented. People like Timothy Leary, who is known as the prophet of psychedelic drugs, had stated the main agenda was the destruction of Judeo-Christian beliefs and to turn people back into paganism and to do drugs and sex and other things, which we see even in the music manifested rebellion and other things and all, which we know within scriptures, I believe it is either 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 or verse 23, either or. But the word says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we see rebellion, people begin to gravitate to other forms of religion, especially from the East. We see the proliferation of Eastern philosophies and all begin to incorporate America, and people begin to incorporate those spiritual beliefs and all. So baby boomers were the most aggressive initiators of spiritual change, you know, they're embracing dramatically different beliefs and behaviors than their predecessors. The successors, Gen X, realigned the nation's religious boundaries even further. The youngest adult generation of today is millennials, are now threatening to reshape the nation's religious parameters beyond recognition. Together, Gen Xers and millennials, which are two generations currently in their late teens through mid-50s, emerge with many beliefs that stand to sharp contrast to those who held boomers and builders two generations in their mid-50s and older. The younger pair of generation is substantially more likely than their elders to believe the following. So let's look what Gen Xers and millennials are most likely to believe. They're likely to believe horoscopes provide useful guidance for their life. Getting even with those who offend or harm them is defensible. God is not invoked in people's lives or involved. I'm sorry. God is not involved in people's lives. Allowing people to own property and facilitates economic injustices. Karma is valuable. Life principle. The Bible is ambiguous in what it teaches about abortion. Which currently right now people got like wind of the draft of overturning Roe versus Wade. So it's been an uproar with people that are pro-choice in regards to overturning abortion. Human beings have developed over a long period of time from less than advanced life forms to our current conditions, which is Darwinism or evolution. The Bible is not accurate and reliable and inerrant word of God. So people look at the Bible as not, they don't look at it being a reliable source. And you hear people, oh, it's just filled with good stories and good philosophies and all. Now we see from reading Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12, and reading Titus chapter 1, verse 6, and then reading Judges chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, we see the turn of spirituality that's taking place on social media among Gen X's and millennials. Social media is having a powerful impact, and we see the TikTok community in which such rituals thrive by many names. So on TikTok, you have Witch Talk, you have spiritual TikTok, you have astrology TikTok. These names are shorthand of sorts as the practices shared among followers originate from a multitude of religions, philosophies, or cultural background. As a whole, they are united by the fascination with the unknown and the unknowable. For some, seeking astrological insight is a daily routine. Astrology app CoStar has been downloaded 20 million times, nearly every 3 to 4 seconds in the United States, with no spending money on marketing, which a spokesperson told CNN. So here we have a astrology app, CoStar, which had virtually no marketing, it's downloaded every 3 to 4 seconds, and he had 20 million people downloading this app. So you see a shift and change in spirituality, and it's really time for the Christian church to really wake up before it's too late, because there is definitely a tsunami of occult revival that's taking place, that's about ready to hit this country. And if churches aren't prepared to be equipped and minister in this area and be in power encounters, which we've seen in the life of the Apostle Paul, when he would have power encounters, when he would go into certain Gentile cities and they had occult practices and all. And even the fact that we see Moses and Aaron having a power encounter when they're dealing with Pharaoh and his musicians and all those things that are taking place in Egypt. We're coming to the time, it's just a sign of the time. We see Kara Palborn, an astrologer with more than 25,000 followers on Instagram, helped find Fresh Voices in Astrology, an organization that hosts monthly webinars to showcase diversity in astrology. She said many of the people she worked with, Fresh Voices, are queer or non-binary and find a true connection with the spiritual side of astrology. A lot of people get into astrology because of the aspect of self-acceptance, Taborn said. It can also speak to your marginalized experience in a way that can be just very helpful and healing. So we can look at the connection when we go back to the Old Testament, the connection of what it says, queer and non-binary within Canaanite practices and all. You had these practices of people that we would declare up on this day, either queer or non-binary, and people that are definitely are within paganism. That's something that they're more accustomed to, which they believe that Judeo Christianity is more hostile to this type of lifestyle. That's something, another teaching at another date within that. So what is behind millennials' obsession with astrology? Astrology is an ancient practice, but its popularity seems to be bigger than ever. According to Pew Research Center, millennials are less religious than other groups, but 60% of them believe in New Age spirituality. Meanwhile, psychic services industry, which includes astrologer, is worth $2 billion. It's a $2 billion industry and is projected to keep on growing. And with growth and technology comes change. People who want to know what's written in their stars don't have to flip to the back page of a magazine anymore. They can find their horoscope online. Now they can just pick up their phone and they can have more than 200 astrology apps in the app store that claim to do everything from to tell you if your date is your love match or to show you what your date, your baby would, your date, what your baby would look like. So these are things that are occurring with these apps. Let's kind of flip over because we kind of built up on current spiritual climate, especially within Gen Xers and millennials. But this is a shift because people that prominent business people utilize astrology and are into this. So this isn't some type of folk thing where people are very superstitious that are involved in this. High power people are involved in astrology and consult astrologers and psychics for information and becoming wealthy and other things and all. So here we have a situation well over 30 some odd years ago in Orange County, California, with the treasurer tax collector who consulted an astrologer. Let's read on and see what happened with the situation. In the frantic days just before Orange County declared bankruptcy because of its disastrous investment practices, top officials were told that then treasurer tax collector Robert Centrum relied upon a mail order astrologer and a psychic for interest rate predictions, according to the testimony before the county grand jury. So anybody that lives here in California knows that, number one, Orange County is well known, I want to say about a half an hour or more outside of Los Angeles. It's a very wealthy county on the most part, very affluent, very educated, some other things and all, very materialistic, some other things and all. Most Californians, especially Southern Californians, will understand what I'm saying about that. Matthew Rabi, the assistant treasurer and Citron's chief aide, made the disclosure in secret meeting with the county officials in December 1994 as they struggled for the ways to cope with the horrifying $1.64 billion collapse in value of the county investments portfolio. Former county finance director Elaine T. Walsh testified. Matt said Bob had a mail order astrologer that gave him interest rate predictions and a psychic he consulted. I thought we were in a lot deeper problems than anyone could possibly imagine, Walsh told the grand jury. So here you have a man in a very prominent position, a very prominent county in Southern California, consulting a mail order astrologer and a psychic for interest rates predictions, which ends up leading that county into bankruptcy. We see within a CNN report cited astrologers who made incredible claims that at least 300 of the Fortune 500 companies use astrologers in one way or another. So here, a CNN report cited that Fortune 500 companies utilize astrologers in one way of another, consulting them in their business affairs. So which we'll get into, is nothing, again, it's nothing new under the sun. We see this within scriptures where King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, consulted astrologers and musicians. We see this in Genesis chapter 41, and even with Moses and his battle with Pharaoh, that the Pharaoh of Egypt consulted astrologers and physicians. So this still continues on to this day. Here we have J.P. Morgan once famously said that the millionaires don't need astrologers, but billionaires do, as we in charge of economic affairs our economic matters on Earth are invisible forces out there shaping the economic social outcomes of individual nations. JP Morgan thought there was more to the market than timing. He used astrologers to help guide him in that timing in his business and his investments, and he's not alone. So Forbes magazine reported this. So here's JP Morgan, which we know from the bank, Chase Bank. JP Morgan's billionaire, banker, all these other things and all. He consulted astrologers, and it was like, okay, this is an invisible force, which he looked for timing for businesses and investing. So he's consulting astrologers. Let's go on to prove our point. It says, when you get right down to it, stock predictions and market forecasts are just glorified form of fortune telling, while fundamental analysts is more educated form of guessing, is still guessing. Why not just get rid of all the pretense and go full bore into fortune telling with astrology? That's what astrology fund does. Henry Weingarten, the fund managing director, does use fundamental and technical analysis, but he adds astrology as an extra component to his forecasting. He admits he doesn't get every market surprise, but tries to get 30% of surprises, which should be enough to make a lot of money. Again, this is Forbes magazine reporting this. So it's not like I'm getting this information from some Christian conspiracy blog or website or anything. This is Forbes magazine, which is very secular, very much part of the world system, is quoting these people who are seeking demonic spirits through astrology and other things to gain information. We're going to transition because astrology has been in national governments. We see Adolf Hitler and his Nazi party was very much influenced by the occult. Hitler was very heavily involved in the cult. He is actually believed in H.P. Blavatsky's Theosophy and some other things and all. So heavily endowed with demonic spirits with Hitler, even from the writings saying how he would speak when he gave speeches, is very much endowed by demonic powers that were channeling through him, that when he would speak, it would just leave people in awe because of these demon spirits. But when we look at Hitler and the use of just different occult practices, occult symbolism, even within the Nazi party, having the lightning bolts, which is a cult symbol, lightning bolts, as we see Harry Potter has a lightning bolt mark on his forehead. Satan has used that as a satanic symbol. All from Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall as lightning. That's what Jesus quotes. So they use that. But that the swastika was a occult symbol that they borrowed from the Himalayas through Hinduism, some other things from Eastern religion, Eastern philosophies. But this quote from Vice.com article entitled "Hitler Used Werewolves, Vampires, and Astrology to Brainwash Germany," which states, in Hitler's Monsters, a forthcoming book about Nazis, and the supernatural scholar Eric Kurlander examines how Hitler's rise exploited the public fixation with the occult and paganism. More than a record of how, say, a few Third Reichers following their astrology charts into disaster, the book depicts a culture whose rejection of natural science in favor of faith-based border science allowed its leaders to mythologize their beliefs in racial superiority. Border science, as distinct from pseudoscience, was a term adopted by 1930s occultists to cover fields like parapsychology, astrology, or clairvoyance that suddenly found favor with Hitler's fact-averse government. So here we have Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party utilizing astrology. Again, this will be a lesson just in itself, talking about Hitler. Hitler was a foreshadow of the Antichrist, definitely had the Antichrist spirit, just going in behind, doing a teaching behind Hitler and the demonic forces behind that, what possessed him, and just the overall Nazi party. That would be just a separate lesson within itself, which time won't be prevent. So let's go ahead and move on. Here we have Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan. I know Ronald Reagan, the time that in the 80s when he defeated Jimmy Carter as being the president of the United States, and he served two terms. We see the formulation of the moral majority, and a lot of evangelical Christians begin to turn from being Democrats into being Republicans, and really rallying behind Ronald Reagan like he was a Christian, which he wasn't, which we would dive into. Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy were very heavily involved in occult practices, primarily astrology, which we're going to take a look. The astrologer that they followed was Joan Quigley, the astrologer who helped determine President Ronald Reagan's schedule and claimed to have convinced him to soften his stance towards the Soviet Union. Consultations were revealed to a great embarrassment for the White House in a 1988 book by former White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan, who blamed the First Lady for his ouster a year earlier. Regan said that almost every major move and decision the Reagans made during his time as Chief of Staff was cleared in advance with a woman in San Francisco who drew up horoscopes. He did not know her identity. The woman was in fact Joan Quigley, an heiress and Republican political activist. Quigley told the Associated Press in 1988 after her identity was revealed that she was a serious scientific astrologer. So here we have Ronald Reagan, which quite a bit of evangelical Christians hold him as a hero, an American hero, and one of the greatest presidents of the United States, was heavily much influenced by occult practices. He was not a born-again Christian. He used evangelical Christians to get elected and other things, and was far from a worshiper of Jesus and a follower of Jesus and a follower of the Word of God. So you have both him and his wife in cahoots, who strove not to hear from the Holy Spirit, but to hear from Joan Quigley, an astrologer in the San Francisco area, which San Francisco is an area that's heavily, it's an area that's full of darkness, heavy amount of occult activity. That's where actually also to San Francisco is the area where Anton LaVey founded the Church of Satan April 30th of 1966. So we see what we're dealing with, but they sought this woman out for counsel and advice, this astrologer, which we know the Word of God forbids astrology. Here we have to take a look at even a short brief point, because we know astrology does have a spiritual aspect, but there's New Age writings, New Age spirituality and writings in regards to astrology and the mark of the beast 666. And Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucius Trust, which previously was Lucifer Trust, which she shortened the name because people were like, back in the day, were like, okay, Lucifer Trust, so shortened the name. In her writing, she connects 666 with the astrological sign Virgo. Virgo is the sixth sign, the frightening number of the beast. What Virgo means is a symbol of triplicity, six on the physical plane, six on the emotional plane, six on the mental plane. Bailey saw Virgo as a symbol that would transform Earth into a magical, sacred, New Age kingdom. And this is found in her book, The Labors of Hercules, on page 119. So the source of this is Labors of Hercules by Alice Bailey, page 119. So when we look how astrology can really deceive and lead people down a road of deception into actually destruction, but deception and destruction. German theologian and occult expert Dr. Kurt Koch observes that astrology has been responsible for a number of suicides and murders. He cites examples in his books concerning the effects of suggestive nature of astrology. For example, a woman murdered her own son because the astrologer predicted he would lead a life of mental illness. The shattered woman went to jail, but the astrologer went free. And Dr. Sherman Kangigi, a physics professor at Purdue University, observes, in ancient times, women whose babies were born under the sign Scorpio would often kill their babies by drowning them because of the evil significance. So here we see back in ancient times, if women whose babies fell under the sign of Scorpio, they would often kill those babies by drowning them because that Scorpio was fell under the zodiac of evil significance. So let's get down to the nitty gritty where astrology actually originated. The pre-flood idolatry used a form of astrology that centered on predicting omens like eclipses in the sun, the moon, and charted courses of the sun and moon through the zodiac. This was practiced as a means to summon the magic energies for rituals and to contact their ancestor gods at appropriate times. Second Temple Judaism literature teaches during this time of the pre-flood period, fallen angels taught mankind forbidden knowledge, among other things, astrology. So astrology goes all the way back to the days of Noah, even before that, where these fallen angels were teaching them these occult practices and this esoteric knowledge of astrology. Now we see with post-flood apostasy and the false Babylonian religious system, what started the false religions? In the beginning, everyone knew Noah and believed in the one true God. The scriptures called Babylon the mother of all false religions because under Nimrod, the original false religious system was successfully implemented. And we learn from church fathers that the root of madness started with the sons of Ham. So we see the culmination of Babylon being, especially the religious system, being judged in the book of Revelation. Fallen angels taught men to use magical incantations that would force demons to obey man. So they thought these demons play games. They make men or women who are involved in these practices think they have control. But the end result, once they deceive them and use them as a puppet, and they get what they want to a certain degree, they destroy them. This is after the flood. Ham, the son of Noah, unhappily discovered this and taught to his sons. This became ingrained into the Egyptians, the Persians, the Babylonians, and Ham died shortly after the fall of the Tower of Babel. Nimrod, called Nunes by the Greeks, was handed the knowledge by it. He caused men to go away from worship of God and go into diverse and erratic superstitions, and they began to govern the signs and stars and motions and the planets. This is found in the writings of Recognitions of Clement 4:26 through 29. We see that Nimrod turned the government into a tyranny, and he set up 12 idols of wood and named them after 12 months of the year, each representing a sign of the zodiac. And he commanded everyone to worship each idol in its proper month. We see, find this in the book of Jasher 9 through 8, chapter 9, verse 8 through 10. The ancient book of Jasher is referenced in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. It's referenced also in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. The ideal of astrology was found out what could happen to a particular person on a specific date if Mars or Venus was in a right position based on where they were and when the person was born. Then their finances or their love life might improve if they acted today, or perhaps today may or may not be the best time for a person to start a fight or a business. Astrology is based on gods and goddesses who were just men and women long since dead and buried. Examples: Roman and Greek kings, queens, and once lived after the flood, and after they died, they became gods and goddesses. So Venus, Mars, and Saturn were actual people that actually lived, that were shortly after the flood, were kings and queens there in ancient Greece shortly after that. And once they died, they evolved and made them into gods, and they went up into the planets, and they began to worship these planets, which today we see these planets named by these people to this very day. The 12 zodiac gods and numerous other ancestor gods were worshipped in ancient Babylon. When Nimrod died, his spirit ascended to the sun, and he became the sun god. And when his wife Semiramis died, her spirit ascended to the moon. She became the moon goddess, or the queen of heaven. So this is where you get the worship of the sun god and the worship of the moon goddess, which is goes back to Semiramis, known as the queen of heaven, which Catholics elevate Mary as the queen of heaven. Again, it's nothing new under the sun. Semiramis is called by different names: Ishtar, Isis. Different cultures call her by different names, but it goes all the way back to Mystery Babylon. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 12 and 13 states, "Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are weary in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you." So Isaiah is putting this in context. He's like, you people, you worship and you follow all these occult practices, these enchantments and all these other stuff, doesn't even match the power of God. Why don't you try to consult them and see if they can save you, which they can't. They can't save you. So these things lead people astray. So the enemy, Satan, is the father of lies. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he uses all these methods to lead people away from the truth, lead them down a broad road in their own rebellion in their heart, and not receive. They don't love truth. That's why in Thessalonians it says, for they didn't love truth. They didn't have love for the truth, that they were given over to a strong delusion. So when people are given over, when the son of perdition reveals himself, they're going to be given over to a strong delusion because they love not truth. Here we have Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. It says, "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make your graven image and similitude of any figure and likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish in the water beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thy eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest thou be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God had divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. So we see even Apostle Paul, see the writings in Romans chapter 1, he talks about that, how people, they knew God instead of worshiping the creator. They worshiped the creation. This goes all the way back, before the flood and after the flood with Nimrod, when he set up this false religious system. Also, too, if we connect Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16 through 19 with Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, talks about how God allowed it, the sons of God, to be over the nations. This is talking about when Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it's talking about principalities being over, our territorial spirits being over nations that influence nations and people of those nations and to lead them astray and to keep them in bondage. They're part of the world. They're part of this satanic kingdom, this world system that is set up. And one of the things that they use is astrology and all types of false religious system to lead people astray and keep them blind and keep them in sin. That's why Paul was sent out to be apostles. Apostle to the Gentiles, because even Jesus said he was called to that, to break the power of Satan that was over their lives and bring them back into the family of God. So we go over to Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, which is important. And all understanding and wisdom, this is talking about Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, which we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, in all matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. So Nebuchadnezzar found these boys 10 times. They were 10 times better than all these people that were inquiring these occult practices, these demon spirits that were communicating to them and taking these mind expanding drugs and all to acquire this esoteric knowledge to be useful to the king. These boys were endowed by the Holy Spirit to advise the king and see things that these other men who worked the occult powers were unable to do. So when we take a deeper look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, when we look at the Hebrew word Hatorn, and the Greek word epinol, it means drug using physician. When we look at Daniel 1 and 20, the Hebrew word for astrologer is asaf, which is a practice of enchantment or a conjurer. The Hebrew word for Hatorn is using drugs as a musician, which we already stated. And same thing when we look at Hatorn, pharmakeioi, those who use of drugs for a magical end. So with the word epano, is similar to the English word musician, which can refer to a musician who uses drugs, are not depending on the context. It's found in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Epano is refers to a musician who uses drugs 11 times in 11 verses in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Torah. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 2 through 4, it says, if there be found among you within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a man or a woman that have wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and have gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun, here's this talking about the sun or the moon, or any host of heaven, which I commanded, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, the thing certain, such abomination is wrought in Israel. So this practice, again, when astrology is part of the worship of the sun, the moon, and the host of heaven, which the word of the Lord commands us not to do. This is an abomination in the eyesight of God. We have to look at the New Testament, the life of Paul. And Paul, when he entered in Ephesus, Ephesus was known back in Paul's day. It was the epicenter of occult magical practices. So the Ephesian goddess Artemis, dating back to 2nd century AD, for example, depicts the female goddess wearing the signs of the zodiac as a necklace. It portrayed Artemis as having power and authority over the astral signs. So here we find the depiction of the goddess Artemis back in 2nd century AD of having power over the zodiac. Those Gentile Christians who witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit in Ephesus, who were practicing occult practices, repented of their sins. They burnt all of their magical texts and scrolls. Acts 19 and 19 even records how much of their stuff was worth. It's 50,000 drachmas. Drachma was a one day's wages. And if you put that into today's monetary value, their stuff was worth over or approximately $4 million. So this was, Paul had such an impact. To go back to the story, what takes place in Acts 19, Paul, we see that people see Paul, they see that the sons of Sceva try to cast out this demon, out this man. He beats him butt naked, puts him on the run because they try to invoke the name. They didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. They weren't born again. They weren't believers, but they were Jewish exorcists that tried to incorporate Jesus' name in part of their repertoire, and were severely beaten. And people began to witness the things that were occurring in the life of Paul and Barnabas, and they witnessed that, and they saw the power of God moving in both of these men of God, and they repented. The people of Ephesus, even though they became Christian, they still were practicing its practices, but they fully repented. It was like, we fully repented. They didn't use like excuses, and they burnt that stuff, and it was worth millions and millions of dollars. I want to look at what early Christians taught about astrology. When we look at the recognitions of Clement, he says, therefore, astrologers, being ignorant of such mysteries, think that these things, the disasters brought about by when demons inspired human sin, happen by courses of heavenly bodies. Hence also in their answers to those who go to them and consult them as to future things, they deceive in very many instances, nor is it to be wondered at. For they are not prophets, but they, by long practices and authors of errors, find a sort of refuge in those things by which they were deceived, and introduce certain metric periods that they pretend a knowledge of uncertain things. For they represent these climatics as times of danger, in which sometimes is destroyed, not knowing that is not the course of stars, but the operation of demons that regulates these things. And those demons use an ancient to confirm the error of astrology, deceive men to sin by mathematical calculations, so they, when they suffer the punishment of sin, either by the permission of God or by the legal sentence of astrologer, may seem to have spoken the truth. This is found at Recognitions of Clement 9 and 12. Here we find an Titan of Syria. He addresses, it's found in his writings, address to the Greeks 8. He states, under the influence of demons, men form the material of their apostasy, or having shown them a plan of the position of the stars, like dice players, they introduce fate, a flagrant injustice, for the judge and the judged are made so by fate. The murderers and murdered, the wealthy and the needy, all are offsprings of the same fate. When we continue to look at Titans of Syria's writing addressed to the Greeks 9, he states, such are the demons. They are they who lay down the doctrine of fate and the fundamental principles was placing of animals in the heavens and the constellations. These they dignify with celestial honor in order that they might themselves be thought to remain in heaven by the placing of the constellations, and there might make to appear a rational and irrational course of life on earth. Thus the high spirit and he who crushed with toil the temperament and the intemperate, the indignant and the wealthy are what they are simply from the controllers of their nativity, from the delineation of the zodiacal circle is the work of the gods, but are superior to fate. Instead, wandering demons, we have learned to know one Lord who wanders not. Amen. So when we look at also the writings of Tertullian, Apologies 35, he states, the arts of astrologers, soothsayers, augurs, and musicians were made known by the angels who sin and are forbidden by God. When we look at Hippolytus, his writings, he states, the horoscope was invented by the Chaldean astrologers. So, we walk by faith and not by fate. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The development beyond a person's fate, this is what fate is. It's the development of events beyond a person's control, regarded as determined by a supernatural power. Example, fate decided his course for him. So we walk by faith and not by fate, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not walking through what we can see through the stars, or having somebody create a astrological chart for us, or to go on CoStar, to go on a astrology app to find out what our fate is. If we're walking in the spirit, then if we're walking in the spirit, then he's going to lead and guide us into not some truth, but all truth. So when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, when you're a born again believer, you surrender your life, you totally surrender your life unto Christ, and you're walking in the spirit, it will lead and guide you into all truth. And it would also always manifest life. It won't lead you astray. It won't lead you into death. So to conclude, which we see occurring fast and rapidly, last great occult explosion in the last days, Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21 state this, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their theft. So we see this fast approaching. God bless.